Potential matchups in the second in the
boom boom boom. Here we go, Max. Yes, we're gonna talk potential matchups. I forgot to put it in the notes. All right, welcome to another edition of your National League Champion Talking Dodgers, brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world, start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. You'll get notifications when we have new content that goes up. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
All right. Really fast. Our magic number is now zero because the Dodgers just clinched the NL West with three games left in Colorado. It was a very good series. We're going to move that all the way to the top of the player spotlight. So here's what's on deck. We're going to just basically jump right into the Dodgers-Padres series recap. We're going to review it a little bit more in depth as far as what we saw because this basically was a playoff matchup. Like, I think the Padres is probably going to be the toughest team in the National League besides the Dodgers. They're stacked up in so many ways, and we're going to go over it.
The second best team in the National League?
We'll jump into it. So who's in, who's out? What does the Dodgers team look like going into the playoffs? We're going to talk about who's still battling for that final spot in the bullpen and also on the offensive roster. We're going to talk potential second-round matchups if they stay in the first seed. And we'll preview the Dodger-Rocky series and hope that somehow Shohei Ohtani can somehow get seven home runs in Colorado. All right, so yeah, let's jump into the Padres-Dodgers recap. All right, so I got a couple key notes I wanted to go over a little bit as far as the starting pitching, because right now we know we basically know who the starting pitchers are going to be. We got four starting pitchers going into the playoffs. It's going to be Flaherty, Knack, Buehler, and Yamamoto. Not in that order. So we get a general idea of probably how they're going to do in the playoffs as far as their demeanor. Because, Max, you brought it up, the Padres are the number one team in baseball as far as like contact hitting. They don't strike out a lot. Are they number one in baseball or are they number one just the National League?
I believe they are. Hold on, I'll pull it up real quick.
Talking to that mic, man. It's there for a reason.
They're number one in average, second in hits.
Okay.
So they put bat to ball.
They put bat to ball. Considering how sketchy we are as far as like, you know, how our starting pitchers is going to look, this is probably one of the toughest teams they're going to face in the playoffs. I know I keep talking like this isn't a play. This wasn't a playoff series, but this definitely had playoff feel, playoff vibes. Yeah, Mike, you asked me, do I think that the Padres are the second best team in the National League? Yes. I think it's very close between them and the Phillies. The Padres have been the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break. And if they didn't have to face the Dodgers and they kept facing other teams, I mean, if it kept going, they were going to take the Dodgers, I feel like, at some point. If there was 172 games in a season, they probably would have taken them. But good thing there's not. It's 162. Some people are going to be mad that I just said that. I think I've talked enough. Mike, what did you think of the series? Go.
Well, I was a little nervous after game one, to be honest. I felt like we were a little flat.
Yes. It seems like they turned it on. They started to turn it on in the seventh inning in the first game. And then what'll deflate you?
Is a triple play at the bottom of the ninth.
Ending triple play in the like.
I don't know. That goes back. Okay, so. Well, I'll recap on that just because all I can think of is classic Roberts, and we should have bunted over with, I think Shohei was on deck, right?
I think the mistake was...
The mistake was not doing small ball and bunting, getting guys into second and third.
That's not what really bothered me. What bothered me was is that you showed the bunt to bring in the third baseman. But you know what?
The bunt call was on the first pitch, and then the second pitch they told him to swing away.
Right, and it was because you brought in the third baseman. And I mean,
so bunt it down first baseline. Bottom line is we should have bunted to get the runners over.
Look,
so, okay.
nobody was thinking triple play. I know I wasn't thinking triple play. I thought worst case scenario, yeah, he would have grounded into a double play. But that still would have had a runner on third. You would have had a runner on third, and you would have had Shohei coming up.
I would rather take runners on second and third with one out on a bunt to sacrifice, then turn a double play, runner on third with two, and have two outs with the next runner, next batter up. With that being said, we battled back. I think we competed overall series. We, you know, took game two and took game three tonight to clinch the NL West.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that with the exception of the triple play, the Dodgers should have swept this series the way that they played.
I mean, I just think...
I feel like it would have happened. They would have won the first game. But it's not like they walked away with this game. Even with this last game, the final score being... I don't even think I put it on my notes because we just ended watching it. What was it? 7-2? Yeah, I think it was 7-2.
Even with that,
I mean, it took the last part of that game for the Dodgers to really jump out in front, but it was still a really close battle all three games.
You're talking about game three?
Yeah. We're jumping all around.
You generally asked me about the series.
I know.
I'm not done yet.
Keep going, man.
No, I keep going. I'm barely getting started up in the hizzy. Can I say that? Hizzy? This house?
I don't know. I feel like that should be a banned word, but you go ahead. You use it. Go for it.
So I was a little nervous after game one. But they locked it down and played with confidence. They didn't get nervous or shell-shocked even when they were down in both game two and game three. And they came back and came up with some big at-bats. And it looks like everybody that steps into Robbie's office comes out to play, make big plays. We got Smith's two-run homer tonight.
Yeah.
And then Pagey goes yard on it.
And you know what?
That was rad. Robbie and I are watching it live. And Robbie's like, this guy can't hit lefties. And what's he do?
He takes righties
and takes him yard. But overall, I'm stoked with the series. And I think it's a great, great way to win the West. Kind of put San Diego back in their place.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you now. If
I think it's going to look good going into the playoffs. We just need to worry about Freddie Freeman.
If Rojas doesn't get hurt yesterday's game, Paez isn't playing this game. You'd still have Tommy Edmonds in center field, and Miguel Rojas would be playing second base. Oh, I'm sorry, he'd be playing shortstop. So Paez shouldn't even have been in the lineup. Like, he was a filler.
Just the fact that he came up with a big hit.
It's a really good hit. It was a really good hit. All right, so
everybody looked good. I can never say his name right.
Triden,
yeah. He looked good. I like his confidence. What did you think of Walker Buehler today, Robbie?
I loved Walker Buehler today. The only thing that was a little disappointing is I didn't see a lot of swing and miss out of him. He only had 1K. He did give up, actually, let me look at the stats really fast. He gave up 5 hits, I think. Yeah, 5 hits, 1 earned run. He had a 1 walk, 1K, 71 pitches in 5 innings, 42 were strikes. And he pitched to contact, I feel. He did have a lot of good pitches that I felt that the Padres were fouling off.
But Padres don't strike out a lot.
They don't strike out a lot. You got a lot of soft contact. And the balls that were hit, there were a couple balls that were hit hard. Luckily, it went right to a fielder. So, I mean, I still think there was some luck in Buehler's game for sure. But he felt like he was in the most control out of the two that pitched this year, out of the other two, which was Knack and Flaherty.
You think it's his best overall game since he's come back from injury?
It's interesting because the last game he had 9 Ks, right?
Yeah.
And he had a lot of swing and miss. He gave up 4 earned runs. But this one, he only has 1 strikeout and gives up 1 earned run. He's finding that balance, I feel like. And he's continues to move in the right direction. I feel like this was a playoff game for Walker Buehler. And I think there was a stat where the Dodgers haven't clinched the NL West at Dodger Stadium, I think, since 2017. I could be wrong. I can't remember what the stat was, but the pitcher that pitched that game was Walker Buehler. And Mike, you would have loved it. You were driving here, so you didn't get a chance to see it. But
the other reason why I don't get to see it is with his streaming services. Another topic.
That's on you, man. But what you would have loved, though, was Walker Buehler just following Dave Roberts in the dugout.
Show some
begging
swag.
Begging him to put him back in the sixth inning.
I think
it was the right move not to put him back in.
I was going to ask you.
You were going to go through Machado, who's a total Dodger killer.
Let me ask you this, Robbie. So He only had 71 pitches going into the coming out of the fifth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 2-0 at that, 2-0, right?
Yeah, San Diego.
2-0 San Diego?
Yeah.
Do you think we should have brought him in the sixth?
No, it was 1-0.
Oh, so they got 2-0 when they brought in Phillips, no, right?
Phillips gave up a run.
Do you think they should have, with only 71 pitches, do you think they should have let Buehler go back out in the sixth?
No, because he didn't have a lot of swing and miss. Max brought up a good point as far as our bullpen. I mean, Evan Phillips has been pitching really well. I still think there's something to say about Phillips pitching back to back. Same thing with Kopech.
Yeah, and you even Trinan.
We're not going to have that issue in the playoffs. But I mean, you take out Walker Buehler and you put in Evan Phillips. I feel like that's a good swap. The only thing you think about though is, do you have the depth to go the remaining four innings, which
we did.
You did.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the stats that I was going to go over in a second as far as like how our bullpen did throughout the series and stuff. But they came to perform in all these games. Knack, I think let's jump into game one really fast. Let's just review all the games really quick, and then I want to talk about stuff individually throughout, because this series is extremely important. So let's look at the first game really quick. So here's the stats for game one. Knack goes four innings, gives up five hits, four earned runs, walks one, four Ks, one home run, 77 pitches, 48 were strikes, but he only went four innings. Knack, in my opinion, he pitched really well. He made a couple mistakes, and what's unfortunate is that the Padres punished him for those mistakes. Sometimes you get lucky and like you leave a ball too high. It's a line drive right to the center fielder or whoever it would be. But they just punished him for it. But Knack had some really good pitches in some really tough spots against Machado, against Tatis. He executed a lot of pitches. He looked really good. It actually gave me more confidence. Even though you look at a stat line, he only lasted four innings and he gave up four earned runs and one was a home run. But the way he pitched in that game, he had swag and it was a playoff atmosphere. Like I have more confidence having him as our number four in the playoffs. So that was actually really good to see. Our bullpen came in, Gratterall, Hudson, Honeywell, and then the rookie pitcher, Henriquez, I can't say his last name, but they gave up five innings. They pitched five innings, gave up zero runs, three hits, and three Ks. Two of those Ks was from this one pitcher I wanted to talk about a little bit in another segment, but he was lights out. He was throwing like 100, 101, 102 miles an hour. Like he came out of nowhere. They just activated him on that first game. Max, let's find something on him. I want to talk about him a little bit later on. Ohtani went one for three at a double walk. Teoscar Hernandez, 2 for 3. Smith, 2 for 3. Kike, 2 for 2. I think Kike might have actually went 4 for 4 in the series, because I don't think he pitched or hit the second game. But they had runners on first and second, no outs in the ninth inning. They had the pitcher on the ropes. We already talked about it. Miguel Rojas comes in, hits into a triple play. If the triple play doesn't happen, even if they turn two and you get a runner on third, the way Ohtani's been hitting, I think that they still would have came back and tied the game, at least tied the game in the ninth inning and gone from it. But it was really good to see them play smart baseball throughout the game. You can still question the bunt if you want to, but I enjoyed that entire game. I thought they looked well. It was deflating with the triple play, but I thought it was good.
I think part of it too, now that I had a little bit of time to just dwell on the entire series, that triple play kind of might have woke the Dodgers up a little bit, just in the fact that nobody was going to give them the division.
Yeah,
I mean maybe they needed that loss as a slap in the face to possible.
What's crazy though? Think about this though. Like, how deflating does that have to be, or how much of an ego boost does that have to be for the Padres to end the game with a triple play? And how much of a gut punch does that have to be to the Dodgers?
I think it's great.
To take that, but then go into the second game and play really solid baseball. Still, it's another game where you come from behind, but they looked great and the pitching looked fabulous. And what I loved about this game, starting Flaherty didn't look great, but Flaherty did what he needed to do. But here, let me put the highlights on for this, because this is what I think our bullpen's going to look like in the playoffs. Which is nice to see. Let me just press this play button, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. All right, so game two, Wednesday's game, Dodgers win that game 4-2-3. Flaherty goes 5 innings pitch, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 1 home run. He pitches 100 pitches in 5 innings, 59er strikes. It wasn't his best outing. There were times, there was one inning where, you know, I was talking about how even when Flaherty has runners on base, I feel like he's in control. There was one inning where it could have went south on him real easily, and somehow he pitched through it. So kudos for him on that. It's still something you don't want to see out of him. I feel like he's maybe lost a little bit of certain something that he had right when he came to the Dodgers, whether he's just getting tired, over usage, or maybe it's the fact he's just playing against the Padres, and the Padres, you know, are great contact hitters like we've talked about. But this is what I think that the sequence as far as pitching is going to be in the playoffs. They're going to rely heavily on Vessier, Phillips, Trinan, and Kopech. Like, those, I think, are their main four, especially now that you don't have Gratterall as an option, because now Gratterall went down, which is unfortunate. I think Gratterall might have slipped in, been one of the, maybe switched off with Vessier. But they went 4 innings pitched, 0 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Like, they came in and absolutely dominated. And the way Trinan's pitching right now, which you keep hearing on the broadcast with Joe Davis, it looks like it's a video game. The way the ball moves, the way his sliders move, or his sweeper, whatever he's got going on right now, that thing is, it's all over the place. You saw Tatis, like, kind of almost duck out of the way a couple times of a pitch that wasn't even going to hit him at all. And then you saw Machado swing at pitches that were never even a strike. Like, that's how much this ball is moving. Otani, 2 for 3, 2 RBIs. Both of his RBIs, I believe, were singles to give the Dodgers the lead. 1 walk, stolen base. Freddie Freeman, 2 for 4. He's hitting the ball, which is really nice to see. Gavin Lux started hitting the ball again, 2 for 4 in RBI. Teoscar Hernandez, 1 for 4 in RBI. But it wasn't a blowout game. They gave you 4 runs. They gave you just enough to get through the game. And this is what it's going to be like in the playoffs. They got to just score a lot more runs than 4, but they just got to be at least 4 and up. But I was really impressed with that game. Mike, what do you got?
We already went over.
Well, for the second game, man. Like, what did you see in the second game that you liked a lot?
Well, I think overall, I just think that they competed the whole series. I think game 2 and 3 are just a little bit identical in the fact that they were close games and they kept battling and they won. To me, this is a playoff atmosphere, playoff series game. Each game was close and tight, and they had to compete and they had to earn the divisional, the NOS. But I just like that they competed and they stayed in it, and it didn't seem like the atmosphere was too big for them. I talked about it a little bit before we were on air, how I felt like the Padres kind of had our number going into the series.
Yeah.
And we had something to prove. By us taking 2 out of 3 with them, I think it kind of put them back in their place and gave us a boost of confidence going into playoffs.
Yep, absolutely.
I was happy. Overall, 2 out of 3 is great. We could have swept them. But, again, talking about the gut punch, I think it woke them up for game 2. And then it led right into game 3.
All right, let's talk about game 3.
Well, before you leave game 2, is the ideal playoff kind of game, because you had their ace on the mound, right?
Yep.
And you had, you know, Ohtani being super clutch, which is what you hope for time.
True. Absolutely.
And Robbie mentioned it briefly. In the playoffs, having the ability to shorten games is so huge, and this game was a perfect example of that. When they have those 3 relievers come in and basically shut things down, it's so huge in the playoffs when you can bring in arms like that have swing and miss kind of ability, and it just neutralizes a good lineup. So that's this game was like an ideal scenario for a playoff game.
I will say this. You were talking about those 3, which is Phillips, Trinan, and Kopech, which...
All 3 could be closers. I mentioned our text.
Yeah, exactly. All 3 of those could be closers on other teams. When they're on, they're like the toughest pitchers in baseball to go up against. And quite frankly, like you talk, like everyone talks about the offense as far as like the MV3 with Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. I mean, I'm going to throw Teoscar in there and make it a 4, because Teoscar's been so clutch throughout the entire season. So consistent. But the offense rides or dies with those guys. I feel like the bullpen in the playoffs is going to ride or die with Phillips, Trinan, and Kopech. Like, if those guys are on and you can get, like, we have the chance to win every single game. That means even if our starters give up 3, 4, even 5 runs, like, and they can at least go 5 innings, give up 5 runs, but you put these guys in there and they shut it down and give this offense a chance, a full 9 innings to click and figure out how to score runs. It's, I mean, it's dangerous, which is really good for the Dodgers for sure.
Yeah. I'll say one last thing about game two. Just the fact that Flaherty seems to be consistent going 4 or 5 plus innings,
yeah,
100 pitches, showing that he can go deep if he needs to.
Well, deep would be 6. The ideal would be 6, but with
our rotation right now, everybody's going 4 innings.
Well, not anymore. Bueller's going 5.
I'm just saying, leading up into this.
No, you're right.
It's good to show that Flaherty just seems consistent.
Yeah.
And no, right. I will also say, you mentioned he's looking a little bit tired. It's probably because he's been the healthiest pitcher we've had since we got him.
So I think, anyways. Matt, how many days is Flaherty going to have off? It's like 9 or 10 games, right? Now that we've secured the West, we have a bye.
Oh yeah, he's gonna have a huge. Let's see.
Extremely beneficial for our starting pitching to be able to take that. I mean, obviously they might pitch a simulation. They'll still have their bullpen sessions and stuff like that. It's not like they're gonna be sitting at home.
Yeah.
You know, eating some bonbons and stuff. Peg Bundy. Okay. From Married with Children, like, man.
She said Ted Bundy.
He said Ted Bundy, right?
Yeah. Nobody, there was no T in there, guys.
Okay.
All right. Let's jump into today's game.
Game one of the division round starts October 5th.
October 5th.
Yeah.
Love it. We're gonna have to talk about our scheduling and our streaming and stuff, some live streaming and that. Okay, let's jump into Thursday's game. All right, so stat lines. Walker Bueller, 5 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 1 K, 71 pitches, 42 were strikes. Evan Phillips, Bonda, Trinan, Kopech. So all they did right now, they put Phillips in a little bit earlier, and they switched out Vessier for Bonda. Bonda got activated, so that's nice. His fractured hand healed up pretty nicely. They go 4 innings pitch. They give up 0 earned runs. I actually did not write down the full stat line on that, but I can tell you that they dominated. Well, no, Evan Phillips gave up a run. I forgot about that. Evan Phillips gave up a run in the 6th inning. Bonda came in and got him out of the jam, and then Bonda finished the 7th inning. Then he was trying an 8th inning. Kopech, 9th inning. But other than that, the bullpen looked great. Ohtani goes 5 for 3, 1 RBI. Betts 4 for 2, shows up. So we didn't talk about this. Game two, Betts came up with runners on base pretty much every single at bat, and he flied out in the infield. He did have a long fly out, I think, to right field at one at bat. For most of the time, he flied out, popped up in the infield, popped up to the first baseman. He was swinging under the ball. His swing looked pretty bad. He made an adjustment this game, goes 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs. Will Smith, 1 for 4, huge 2-run homer. Kike Hernandez comes in for Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman rolls his ankle trying to run out of throw at first base. Hopefully we'll hear that it's, you know, he's going to have 7, 9, 10 days worth of rest, so his ankle will be fine. Kike comes in, goes 2 for 2, fills in the first base pretty nicely. Paez with a huge 2-run homer, 1 for 3 to give the Dodgers 7-2 lead, where the Dodgers win the game. This game for me, we saw Bueller pitch with swag, confidence. We didn't see the swing and miss, but we saw the bulldog in him, which is normally Hershiser, but I'm gonna give him the bulldog because not only does this guy have so much swag, so much of that grit that you want, but you could just see, like, he just loves baseball and he wants to compete no matter how much, like, he just wants to be in there. And that's what you want to see out of these guys. You want to see these guys in there and just kind of just going for it, you know? And not to mention, he's got a killer tattoo on his back. When they were in there partying, like
big old eagle.
I'm telling you, he must have gotten that thing when he was on the IL with his Tommy John surgery, because I did not see that in any of the other parties they've had in the last 11 seasons or whatever, how long he's been on this team. Because that thing is monstrous. It looks, I think I made a comment, it looks like some kind of villain from, like, Hogwarts showed up in Harry Potter, and it's just about to jump off his back and just eat somebody. It looks ridiculous.
I will pat myself on the back. I told you he'd be clutch for us coming down the stretch.
Yes, you called it. You called it. Hey,
I'm proud of myself for that. I like the way he carries himself on the mound. I'm a Walker Buehler fan. I know it, Robbie, you thought maybe he's past his prime a little bit with his injuries, and he might not have been as elite as he once was, but I feel that veteran presence and his confidence is going to play dividends in the playoffs.
I like with Landon Knack. I was already confident with Walker Buehler. I've been talking to Walker Buehler the last four or five starts, saying how much I see something in him. I feel like it's there.
I didn't mean it like you were knocking him.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying I turned that corner the last four or five games he started. And this game just gave me even more confidence that if he brings that fire and that swag and that control in his pitches and stuff like that, I think he's going to see a lot more swing and miss going into the next round, unless it could be San Diego again, I think we're going to talk about the playoff matchups in a little bit.
Well, Buehler's on a contract year, right? He's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you get a big contract?
You dominate the playoffs.
And he win a World Series MVP.
World Series MVP. Hey.
I'm not saying he's going to, but that's what I'd be pitching for that big contract.
That would be amazing.
Which would work for us because we want a ring, baby.
We do want a ring. All right, this is a good time to remind everybody to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
We are also on YouTube, so if you want to see our pretty faces, go check out our YouTube channel, which is Rot Your Brain.
You went with pretty rather than handsome?
Handsome faces.
I used to be pretty, then I got all these wrinkles under my eyes and crow's feet and... whatever.
Hey, don't you realize
dude,
that's
my notes? Where'd all my stuff
go? Silver fox, dude. We're silver foxes these days.
All right, we're done. That'll do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. We're going to start talking like that. That's
many men.
Okay. All right, let's talk about who's in and who is out.
Let's start pitching against. Where are you going to start?
We're going to talk about who's hurt and who's not going to be making it into the playoffs right now.
Pitching or the field?
We're going to go over all of it. So, Brusdar Graterol, this kind of sucks. So, Graterol comes in, pitches the first game, looks really good at this series, and now he looks like he's going to be done for the rest of the season. He won't be back in the playoffs. It's very questionable. His shoulder started flaring up again, so it's not the hamstring that it was before. It was the shoulder, the reason why he's been on the IL most of the season. So, he's placed on the 15-day IL. He still could come back in the playoffs, but if it's the shoulder, it's highly unlikely. So it sucks. I'm sure that was a very tough conversation to be had with Graterol that he's not going to be on the team. They brought back up Ben Casparias, which is a rookie. I highly doubt he's going to be on the playoff roster as well. I think he's just going to be there just to fill in some time on in Colorado. So Bond is up, which we saw him pitch this game. Brent Honeywell Jr. has been placed in the 15-day IL, so something happened to him. He cracked the right middle finger comes as no sweat. Honeywell has pitched well. I'm not really sure why he's out. What does it say right here? As for Honeywell, the cracked right middle finger comes as a surprise. He cracked his middle finger somehow. Honeywell has pitched well as multi-inning option out of the Dodgers bullpen. So if he's got something wrong with his finger, if it's cracked, he's probably out for playoffs as well. I don't think Honeywell was one of the guys anybody was really thinking was going to make the playoff roster, so it's not a huge loss, but it does suck that he's out. It is good that Bond is back. Austin Barnes has been activated off the 10-day IL. Hunter Fiducia has been optioned back to AAA. So we kind of saw that coming. If Barnes was going to get healthy, that was going to knock Fiducia out. It does kind of suck in a little bit just because Hunter Fiducia is a left-handed hitter, and it was nice to have that option as far as coming off the bench with another lefty hitter. But, you know, if things are going well, we are not going to see Barnes on the field at all. He will not be catching, and he will not be coming off as a pinch hitter. I can't see a scenario where you'd bring Barnes in for a pinch hitter. So, and let's see, Miguel Rojas. He is kind of day-to-day right now. He did leave Wednesday's game with a left groin tightness. Got an MRI on Thursday, which revealed a tear on his adductor? forcing him to miss a few games, perhaps the remainder of the regular season.
Ow.
That sucks. Well, they'll make some adjustments. That sucks because Rojas has been a really good defensive player at shortstop, and he's been hitting the ball pretty well. The Dodgers do have the options to fill in the blanks on that one, so I'm not really too worried about it. That's pretty much it on who's in, who's out. I figured I'd just put that a little bit more in depth this episode, see what happens. If we like it, we'll keep doing it. If we don't, we'll get rid of it. All right.
I'm curious to see what happened to Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, we'll know about Freddie Freeman.
I didn't see him in any celebrations today.
He's probably bummed and pissed off right now if it's worse than what we think it is.
If he's out for an extended period of time, who plays first base?
It's Kike Hernandez. Which, Kike has been hitting pretty well, but those new glasses help him out, but he still does not hit as well as Freddie Freeman. And no, I'll tell you right now, he does not pick the ball as well as Freddie Freeman. It would be a defensive liability at first base. Especially when you got Max Muncy throwing baseballs from third base. I like Max Muncy, but Max Muncy's not always on target, so he's gonna have to pick a lot of balls from third base, so that's gonna suck a little bit.
Would you put Muncy at first?
Put him back there?
Yeah, if Freeman's out for the first round.
I'm just not a bad idea. I would. I would.
Not a bad idea, Mike.
So you put Muncy at first, and who goes to third?
Here's the thing. I mean, Kike would go to third. Here's the thing. If you found out by some crazy thing that Freeman's out for the playoffs, I would make that move in a second.
Yeah.
If you find out that Freddie Freeman's out for, you know, questionable to come back the first series, like he could miss a game or two and then he comes back, no, I'd leave Muncy at third just because you don't want to change Muncy's defensive position too much on him, especially third base. I wouldn't take him off of third and then put him at first. And because he hasn't played first base since he got his arm ripped off of him. What, two or three years ago?
Yeah.
He's been at third base the entire time since then. Since they got Freddie Freeman, he's not played first base. Before they got Freddie Freeman, though, that year prior to it, I feel like he should have won Gold Glove at first base. He was a very good first baseman. He picked everything. He looked unstoppable. I think he picks the ball better than Freeman does. But to switch it up on him like that, I mean, if you knew he was going to stay there for the entire playoffs, yeah, you work him in now, I would do it for sure.
Gotcha.
But not for just two games, then you put him back at third. Then
hopefully Freddie's just got to roll his ankle and it's not a big deal. And
yeah,
10 days off and he'll be fine.
Hopefully. Oh, Clayton Kershaw. So our hopes for Clayton Kershaw coming back for even pitching a series in Colorado, that's not going to happen. It looks like he's still not 100%. And from what I'm reading from this, if Kershaw does come back, The options are he would come back either for the National League Championship or the World Series. He's not going to pitch any playoffs before that. So that if that alone right there doesn't knock it or make sure that he's not going to be one of the starting pitchers. Our other option was Gavin Stone. What I'm reading out of here is Gavin Stone's likely out until 2025. He's still yet to throw a baseball. His shoulder is still messed up. So that he will not be an option to come back from the playoffs as well.
That hurts.
It does hurt. The last remaining starting pitcher that has the potential to come back and be any kind of an option is still Tony Gonsolin, which we're still trying to hear or find out if he's going to pitch one of these games in Colorado, which I believe he's going to. I would think that it would have been tomorrow's game because they're doing a bullpen game.
It'd be a smart decision to pitch Gonsolin if he's up for it.
Yeah, if he can, why not?
Yeah.
I would say do it, but I don't know. We'll wait and see. Maybe it'll be one of these games.
Can we go back to Kershaw and his bone spurs?
Sure.
I don't understand if this has always been a nagging issue for him, and he was out for so long, they didn't clean it up. I don't get that one bit.
We should write him a letter.
Well.
And see what he says.
I want to know why he didn't do it. If it's been a not known issue and you're not that long, why wouldn't you just get him cleaned up so it's not an issue when you come back?
I don't know. You're right. He should have gotten it taken care of.
But whatever.
It could also be a thing where maybe he just feels that the arm itself isn't right yet, and he still needs a lot of time to work through things, and he might have some PTSD because of the last playoff series where it was up to him and he wasn't 100%. I think having him not pitch in the playoffs this year and giving him the entire offseason to figure his body out and be an option, a serious option for next year, is the best thing for not only Clayton Kershaw, but for the Dodgers.
Really? Yeah, you mentioned early on when I joined the Talking Dodgers pod that he may not be on the playoff roster, and I thought like that was crazy. But right now he may not be on it.
Well, the best way for the Dodgers to save face and for Clayton Kershaw to save face is for Clayton Kershaw to be injured, not for the Dodgers just to choose
not to put him on the roster.
Yeah, because if he's injured, you know, there just was no option.
Sure.
Of course we would have put him on there. He's a Dodger legend. He is, you know, he's basically one of the faces of the franchise. For us to not, what we would never do that. But unfortunately, he's injured, so we can't. Which I think that's probably a conversation they've had behind the closed doors, where it's like, hey, you just haven't found it yet. We don't want to damage your legacy anymore right now. Let's make sure that you are 100% before we throw you into the fire. And let's have you proving it in the regular season. Okay. This is a good time to remind you all to click that like and subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.
Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus X.
Max, I got something for you. I'm going to put this in our notes right now. You're going to love it. I promise.
I'm going to love it. I promise.
We're doing it. It's going in right now. Boom, boom, boom. Swipe all the way down here. I got something for you. It's something for you to read.
It's something for me to read. Reading is fundamental. Remember those commercials?
No. I remember Reading Rainbow, though.
Yeah, I don't see this read.
Reading Rainbow?
It's above your graphic you put in.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I knew you'd like it.
All right. Oh, yeah. I should memorize this by now, right?
Should've.
Player Spotlight is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms, from sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews. That trailer for The Last of Us was awesome.
Yep.
Rot Your Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page at patreon.com/RotYourBrainMedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertain. Oh, there you go.
That was pretty good. You should be proud of yourself.
Max is good at ad reads.
He does. He has a really good read voice.
You're saying he's got a good radio voice?
No, read voice.
Or radio face?
Radio. He's got
radio,
a radio
face for sure.
Oh my God. What a bunch of dads and their jokes.
Well, he did. Robbie did reference us as pretty.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think I referenced myself as pretty.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
All right, really fast. I want to talk about this guy really quick.
What I want to talk about?
Go, Mike. What do you want to talk about?
That we're NLS champs. 12 out of the 13 past season, or the 12 out of the last 13 seasons were NLS champs. I was not very optimistic a few weeks ago. I'm just stoked that we got the division again.
Yeah, the Padres. I said it from day one, like that was the team I feared the most because their team looked absolutely stacked pitching and hitting. It was just if they could get out of their way as far as ego-wise and just stop, I don't know what they're doing, imploding internally, then...
You know what they're doing? They're getting their butts handed to us by the Dodgers, exactly what's happening.
I mean, that's happened for years and it's never given them this kind of motivation.
Well, the fact that we were within three games and we shut them down and won the division at home, I think this is a lot for the adversity of the team.
All right, so...
Did I lose your train of thought?
Lose my train of thought. I'm going to give Max something else to look at really quick. Max, I'm going to put this link underneath exactly what I sent you earlier. I want to look at this player really quick.
It better not be Aaron Judge.
No. We're not doing that again, man. I can just hear people just unfollowing us during that conversation. Because they thought that Max just did not know what he was talking about.
Judge just hit a home run in like four or five straight games.
That's hey, by all the right.
way, Otani stole We're a base in one of these games and he got hit in
Ooh,
because he was in
stolen
scoring,
base.
He was in scoring Ooh. Position. He's making things happen.
Hey, one of our listeners, Joe, sided with Big Mike over here that stolen bases do matter.
Oh, yeah.
You can't call yourself Big Mike. Like,
yeah.
You can't give yourself a nickname. Like, that doesn't work.
That's
man.
Not my
that,
nickname. I have another nickname floating around out there.
Hope it doesn't start with little.
It doesn't.
All right, Max, did you click that link?
Yeah, I already had that up.
Okay, so can you, first of all,
well, you want to look at his minor league numbers? I mean,
well, what he
was their 15th ranked prospect in their system.
He started out in single A.
Yeah, he had a great year this year. That really, he was making it. He was really popping this year, so that's why he got.
Who are we talking about? What's his name?
Elevated Eduardo Enriquez.
Yes.
Isn't that what you're
yeah, that's what I said. Just want to make sure it's right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the minors this year, he's been pretty lights out. If that's what you were, I mean, think about this. He's listen to this. 53 innings pitched, right? I think he was like 88 strikeouts. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, the way he pitched was absolutely ridiculous when he came into that game. When he came into the first game against the Padres, I had heard a little bit about him before. I didn't realize that he went from single to double to triple to the majors all in 1 year, which is kind of really unheard of to start that low and jump up that quick. It doesn't happen a lot, especially with pitchers.
He's a young kid. He's only 22. He's
22 years old. But the way that he pitched, I can see the Dodgers trying to make room for him on the playoff roster.
Yeah, you might as well use him before he freaking blows out his arm and needs Tommy John.
Yeah.
I mean, in the minors, his opponents are batting 188 against the guy. So that's a weapon you can use in the postseason that people haven't seen. You know, they don't have all the advanced analytics on tracking his pitches and what lane you should swing at and things like that. So he could be a really nice secret weapon.
Right.
That you can use, you know?
Agreed. All right. So where is the full roster? I am all over the place. Sorry, guys. For everybody who's listening, hey, you know what? I was watching the Dodger game. I got super excited that they won.
Well, that way you got the celebration.
Still partying. I'm still seeing. Look at the screen right here. You got Walker Buehler on the field right now, still with no shirt on, scaring small children with that tattoo.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, it's ridiculous. The party is still going on over here. It's good. I mean,
it's a good celebration.
We're used to celebrating the West. Let's get used to celebrating some NL championships. NL championships and some World Series. Okay, so let's talk about options for playoffs, pitchers wise, bullpen. We can talk about position players really quick. We know the lock for obviously the main players, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, as long as he's healthy. I mean, I'm pretty sure Rolden is gonna be fine. Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Tommy Edmonds. And now it gets a little shaky because you're not gonna have Miguel Rojas, I believe, probably for the first round, unless a tear is not that bad. When you hear something tear muscle-wise, you feel like that's going to be out for a while, especially when it's a leg or like a shoulder. So options for that, I think that's going to change around as far as who you're going to want to take in as far as your position players sitting off the bench. If you take Tommy Edmonds and you put him at shortstop, who's your center fielder? Paez, in my opinion, is not a great defensive option to put in center field. And then if you put Kiermaier in center field, that's not a great bat to have in your lineup. Now you've basically just shrunk your lineup. I think if it's a left-handed pitcher, they might gamble with Paez and put Paez in center field just because he hits lefties so well that maybe the splits will basically kind of like offset his bad defense by he'll getting more hits, be able to get some more runs hit in. If it's a right-handed pitcher, I think you might see some more maneuvering. The way Kike has been hitting the baseball, I would put Kike in center field, maybe have him as an option. Unfortunately, if Freddie Freeman's hurt, then you got to put Kike at first base. And I mean, I think what this does is with Rojas being hurt or Freeman, depending on what it is, it's going to leave the position open for Kiermaier to make the playoff roster, which I didn't think he was going to make it. I thought if you had to choose between Chris Taylor and Kiermaier, you would take Taylor because Taylor's upside in hitting is way more than Kiermaier's upside.
Well, he's a utility player. You can play anywhere.
And he's a utility player. You can play anywhere. Exactly. But now, I think now you're going to take Kiermaier and you'll gamble with Kiermaier, putting him in center field and have his defense. Hopefully, the other eight players on the lineup will be able to cover for him. And that elite defense will hopefully pay off in the long run. What are you guys thinking?
As far as Kiermaier being on the roster over CT3,
I guess options wise, as far as
I would take Chris Taylor over Kiermaier only because of his utility player, and he's just a veteran presence, and I think he's a better option if you had to put him on the field.
Okay.
Hitting wise?
Just generally speaking, offensively and defensively.
Well, he won't be a better outfielder than Kiermaier. Kiermaier
no, but is what I'm saying
a plus-plus outfielder, and you know, some teams they do value outs are very critical in the postseason, especially late innings. If you have a lead, you're trying to secure that, and that's where Kiermaier's value comes in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So I can see him putting.
Teams usually like having like a stud outfielder like that, you know, on your bench, and a good utility defensive guy on there too for the infield, because outs are so critical. Because if you give a team, a playoff team, this is not the Chicago White Sox you're playing again anymore, right? You're playing like really, you're playing San Diego, you're playing Philly. You give those kind of teams an extra out, and you know, a masher comes up, Schwarber comes up, you know, Machado comes up next, and you could have been out of the inning. That could cost you a game. So teams value that defensive presence.
Do you?
I think you're right. So now that I think about it, so. Let's just say Rojas is out for an extended period of time. You put Edmund at short and put Kiermaier in center?
I think that's one option. Another option could be you put Kike in center, or you leave Tommy Edmonds in center and you put Kike at short.
But wasn't Edmund a Gold Glover at short, or is Gold Glover in center?
He's a Gold Glover at second, actually.
Yeah, second. Oh, second.
But he looks great.
Play them all.
He looks great at every position, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that gives you options too, but.
The problem is, like, center field and shortstop are, like, the two most important defensive positions.
Yeah, up the middle.
Yeah.
Catcher, the shortstop, center fielder. You got to secure those.
Right? Try to put Kiermaier in center and put Edmund at short.
But just remember, you're not, most likely, you put Kiermaier in the game. You're not going to get a hit out of the center field. Like, he's your ninth batter, and he's not going to get a hit. Like, he's.
So you start Kike in center?
If you put Kike.
Well, I wouldn't say you're not going to get a hit. I mean, how many times in the postseason, you know, a no-name guy, your worst hitter, quote-unquote, hits a big hit in the postseason? It happens all the time, every year. Like, somebody you least expect comes with a huge hit. I mean.
Does it happen all the time, or does it just happen once in a blue moon? Shocked, you just remember it.
No, it happens often. You know, guys you don't expect come out and hit a big hit. You still need your studs, but, you know. You don't be surprised if a guy like that comes up with a big hit at some point when he was a defensive replacement, you know, in the eighth or ninth inning kind of thing. So it has happened.
You're right. So, but
it's still a tough call.
I think they're going to have a conversation as far as the way Kike has been hitting the ball really well.
He's playing great baseball right now.
What this does is open up an option, I think, to slot him in somewhere. The problem is that I see with Kike is Kike. He can play pretty much anywhere, which he shows you can do that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that fast anymore, or ever was fast to begin with. So covering that much ground in center field, he's not going to get to some of the balls that I think Kiermaier is going to be able to get to, or Tommy Edman's going to get to. The same thing could be said at shortstop, where I feel like Tommy Edman's probably going to get to a couple more balls than Kike is going to get to. And I haven't seen Kike play a lot of shortstop this season. I know he can, but I've seen him a lot at second base, and I've seen him a lot at third base. And then all, because he plays second base when it's a lefty pitcher. They don't put Lux in. They use Kike there. When Muncy was out, Kike played a lot of third base covering for Muncy. He was actually platooning that position a little bit with... I can't remember who. I think maybe Rojas was when Betts was. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember exactly what it was. But once he got his glasses fixed and he started hitting the ball pretty well, he pretty much became the everyday third baseman until Muncy came back. So he's a good option, I think, that maybe they might want to. They might use these 9 or 10 days off to kind of figure out if they're going to know. I think they know right now if Rojas is going to be playing or not. They're going to come up with some kind of contingency plan. I think they're going to use Kike extensively in practices at shortstop and center field, so that way they can see if he's a really viable option as far as putting in there.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
My opinion. I think it's a smart move considering how well he's hitting.
You want to keep that bat, and he gives you that versatility. That's huge.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump into the bullpen really quick. We don't need to talk about starting pitching. I feel like we've talked about that to death. We even talked about the bullpen a little bit to death, but let's just talk about a little bit more. How many pitchers can you take as far as your bullpen? Is it, I guess pitcher-wise, pitchers...
what was it, 13?
13 pitchers, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so we can name a couple people that we know that they're not going to take. Let me look at... We can, like, as far as starting pitching, we kept thinking that maybe Kershaw might be on there. Maybe, what's his name? Stone might make it back, but they're not going to be viable options. That's not going to happen. Gonsolin might be an option, depending on if he actually pitches or not. But then if you look at the bullpen, the main guys that we want to be on there, which is Kopech, Trinan, Phillips, Bonda, Vessier, those are five right there. Gratterall is not going to make it now, so now he's off. We're going to talk about Joe Kelly. So,
what about the kid?
We're talking about,
you're not putting him on there?
I'm going to talk about him at the end. Let's see what, like, the veteran guys. Let's go to the veterans first and see who we got left. So, we got our five right there that I just talked about, which is, we'll go over it again really quick. Should have this thing written down a list. Look at Mike shaking his head like, come on, dude, just get to it. Kopech, Vessier, Trinan, Bonda, and Phillips. All right, so there's five right there, relievers in the bullpen. Now we got to talk about Joe Kelly. With Gratterall out, Gratterall's not an option anymore. We thought Gratterall was in. Gratterall's out. Do you put Joe Kelly in now? I think you do. I think you have to. Joe Kelly.
I don't think you have a choice.
I don't think you got a choice.
Yeah.
There's your six. What am I missing here? It's like I can't even think of. I mean, Honeywell they sent down, but do you bring Honeywell back up now because you just need the extra arms in there? You only need four starting pitchers for the first round. So with that five, it's six with Kelly, then you add Buehler, Kopech. I'm sorry, Buehler, Flaherty, Knack. And Yamamoto, that's 10 pitchers. So you really have room for three more pitchers. So...
You got to put the kid in there, man.
Okay. We put the kid in there. That's 11. Left. That gives you two left.
What's the left? Your lefty situation? Who's the lefty
in
there?
You got Vessia and you got Bonda.
Oh, so you don't even need another lefty.
You don't need another lefty.
You got a long man?
Honeywell would be your long man.
There you go. And you have an extra starter in there to, you know, piggyback somebody if they don't have it that night?
Gonsolin.
Gonsolin's going to come back.
If Gonsolin can pitch, I think you put him in the bullpen, he could be a piggyback guy. Or, depending on how he looks, I think maybe he piggybacks with Knack. Or he piggybacks off of Yamamoto. So I think, yeah, if Gonsolin does a good start, if he has a good pitching performance... I think you got to put him on there because then he can back up Yamamoto if Yamamoto only goes four innings, or he can back up Knack if Knack has the same issue. Gonsolin comes in, he pitches like two innings or something like that out of the bullpen. I think that's a good, smart move. And then you just pepper in whoever else. It's a late night. I'm kind of like straggling. I'm grasping for straws right now. This is already a pretty long episode as it is. I think we did a lot already.
So you want to preview the Colorado series or no?
Let's do it. Let's preview the Colorado series. Max spent a lot of time putting this graphic in here. Let's use it.
Seriously? I think it's going to give us an opportunity to get some fresh arms in there and getting some meaningful innings. We may not sweep anybody, but also give us time to get some much-needed rest as some of these guys have pitched a lot.
I think it's normal that once a team actually secures
the division,
then the next game is normally like you put in your relief, you put in your bench players and stuff like that. However,
yeah, that was old. That's different. Old. It's different. Division doesn't matter anymore. Now it's about your seeding.
Exactly.
So it's all about the Phillies. So these games still matter because whether you know the division just a byproduct of trying to get the number one seed. That's the seed you want.
What's the playoff seeding right now?
Well, the Dodgers are number one, right? So they're in the bracket with San Diego, and as of right now, the Mets, because yeah. their game got rained out.
Ooh, baby.
So they're going to play a doubleheader on Monday with the Braves.
I'm stoked for the Mets. Good
so,
for them.
Well, it's not locked because Arizona still is in play. Atlanta's still in play. So
Atlanta plays a three-game series. Or sorry, Arizona has a three-game series with San Diego.
Exactly. Now, it's San Diego who's pretty much locked in at the fifth seed. What seed are they in? They're the fifth seed.
I'm put up right now.
No, they're at the fourth. They're locked in at fourth, the first wild card. So they don't have anything to play for, really, you know, because Arizona and the Mets can't catch them, really. So are they going to, is it going to be Arizona and the Diamond, San Diego? But regardless, I think San Diego is coming out of that first round wild card. So if you're the one seed as the Dodgers, you're going to see San Diego in the second round.
Arizona is only three games behind San Diego. They could tie.
Yeah, I don't. What do you think they're gonna sweep? They're gonna sweep them this weekend, and you gotta look at the tiebreakers too, if that's the case. So I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they'll sweep them.
Exactly. So San Diego is gonna be locked in that side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket, you have Milwaukee, the third seed, versus whoever is the last in on the playoffs. So it's either gonna be the Braves, the Mets, or Arizona again. So. Who do you prefer in the second round? Do you prefer the Milwaukee or San Diego? That's the thing.
I prefer Milwaukee.
So you would rather have the second seed and then deal with Milwaukee and or whoever, you know, the sixth seed is. So that's it's weird. Or that's not the sixth seed, the fifth seed.
Yeah, they should reseed after.
I had it up on our Twitter account if you want to follow. You know, we share a lot of good content there.
Yeah, for those who don't follow.
Yeah, put a lot of the current brackets. I'll pull them up again.
I saw it today.
You saw it. So do you want to see San Diego, you know?
I don't want
after
see,
this
I
series,
don't,
yes.
No, I don't want to see San Diego again.
Until
I'm still worried about San Diego. I'm hoping, this is what my hope is.
Yeah, I pulled it up. Let's see. We're
I hope the Dodgers just deflated them and they're so pissed off at themselves that they're going to implode and they're going to get swept by Arizona and then they're going to go into the first round and then whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs, they lose that series and they're just done.
So right now, like we said, it's Dodgers are the one seed, San Diego's four, Mets are five. So that's that side of the bracket. And then the top side is Philly, two seed, Milwaukee, I was about to say the Bucks. Milwaukee, the third seed, and Arizona, the sixth seed. So, which side of the bracket do you prefer, you know? Tough one.
It is a tough one. I do believe, going back to the one and the two seed, I do believe that the Phillies have the tiebreaker against the Dodgers. And so the Dodgers are only one game up on them. So the Dodgers kind of have to win outright. So if Philly sweeps, the Dodgers have to sweep.
Yeah, and here, let me bring this up, too. Not only is San Diego tough, the Mets have had the best record in baseball since, like, May whatever, right?
Who has?
The Mets.
They've really?
Yeah. Remember, the Mets started, like, 0-10, and right? They were, like, 10 games out, and then they've just been red hot ever since. That's why we were talking a couple of weeks ago why Lindor was getting so many MVP conversations, because the Mets had this huge turnaround and they've had the best record since I forgot what date exactly in May, but they've had the best record in baseball. So they're still a hot team. So
even when he's hurt, they're still a hot team?
Yeah, because they brought up...
not an MVP then.
No. they brought up Acuna's little brother and he's been red hot, you know, and he's one of their top prospects in the minors. So he's I think he's been batting like 400 or 300, something ridiculous. So that's why they didn't really skip a beat too much.
Right.
When Lindor. So regardless, the 4-5, those are two respectable teams you're going to face in the second round. Whereas Philly, I mean, I don't want to disrespect Milwaukee, but they're like a scrapping little bunch, you know?
Yeah.
And right now it's Arizona. It could be the Braves. The Braves... You fear Chris Sale, but after that, there's a ton of injuries. So I think that side of the bracket's a little easier. That's my thing. So
okay,
getting the number one seed in most sports usually is the easier path, but in this situation, the National League is so stacked, it's actually the opposite. The number two seed has a easier path for me in my
opinion. And I saw that when I think we did talk about that a couple episodes ago, which was very confusing on why it's set up that way. That's why I think it should be reseeded after the first round. And so that way it's more beneficial to be the number one team in
100%.
Yeah, it's
I'll throw it in the notes so you can look at the bracket.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but
all right, so let's preview that. We didn't actually preview the Dodgers Colorado game. So do we have any matchups at all? I know that the first game is a bullpen game.
It's blank. Yamamoto game 2 and Knack game 3. So they haven't announced tomorrow's starter, but maybe in the next couple hours.
It's got to be.
Yeah, maybe they'll
I don't know why they wouldn't throw him in there. Even if it's like day's rest or, I mean, if it's like he's going on, you know, only 4 days rest instead of 5 days rest or something like that. At least get him in there, pitch an inning or two, and then have somebody else come in. Just so he can see some major league hitting. So we'll get kind of an idea, even though it's the Colorado Rockies and it's in Colorado, it'll at least give us an idea of what his stuff looks like against major league baseball players, not just pushing around a bunch of AAA guys.
I agree. And if it happens over the next, you know, before our next episode, follow us on Twitter. We do post a lot of up to date news there. So if you want to keep up with who's starting, injuries, follow us on Twitter. We do post a lot about the minor leagues and the young prospects. So follow us there.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter or X formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
And we've got a Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the fun social media sites.
We're becoming legit. You're actually watching us grow. We are legit. And spread our wings.
We're spreading like a virus.
Into social media. Okay.
It's a big landscape out there.
All right, so that's the matchups as far as pitching-wise. Pretty much everything else the Dodgers dominated in as far as looking at this graph.
I have a question, Robbie.
Yeah.
If Gonsolin pitches, what do you want to see out of him?
I want to see...
You want to see him go 4 innings? 80 pitches?
I would like to just... I want to see a pitcher come in... feel like he's in command of the game as far as, you know, not searching for the strike zone, controlling the strike zone, getting ahead in counts, and I want to see the swag, but I want to see the control. And I think that's what we're going to need. And I feel like having Gonsolin as some kind of an option is going to be beneficial because you look at our 4 guys, anything can happen to those guys as far as an injury, a setback. I don't think any of our 4 pitchers, you can sit there and go, yes, this is a lock. We've got our guy because it's just not there. So having another option would be nice to have. And that is our only option as far as having an option, if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't because make sense.
Nobody else is going to come up. It's Gonsolin or nothing, really.
Yeah. I'd like to see him go 4 innings, go through some battles where he's got to pitch out of it and maybe get like 80 pitches in. That'd be nice.
I want to see him pitch a no-hitter.
Never know.
Within 3 innings. 4 innings.
That's fine. I'll take that
too. I don't know how stretched out he is.
In Colorado?
He can't be that stretched out.
In Colorado.
That would be impressive. Hey,
Dodger has done it there before. Can you name that Dodger?
Hideo Nomo.
And what's crazy though, he was also pitching out of a stretch the entire game. You think he would have just stuck with that moment, like, hey, I did it for this game and pitched no hitter. Next game, I'm just going to pitch out of a stretch again and see what happens. Nope. He went back to the tornado
pitching. Tornado, it worked for him, though.
Tornado wind up. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. I feel like I tried to stretch too many things in this episode, so I apologize if you made it this far. But if you did make it this far,
we love
that
you.
Means you love us. That means you should go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. Help us create new content. Any little bit goes a long way over here. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Tell your friend, your neighbor, your enemy. Yeah. Tell them about us.
And I'm sure our next episode is going to be Sunday night, so we'll have a little bit clearer in terms of the playoff picture. We'll put up a graphic with the brackets, Robbie. But we won't know for sure because the Mets and the Braves might have to play a relevant doubleheader on Monday, depending on what Arizona does.
I mean, that would suck for our podcast, but that would be great for baseball. And I will be watching that game for sure if it goes down to the wire, because I always like to see games like that.
Well, here's a scenario. Do you want that to happen, and then whoever ends up that fifth seed is in a disadvantage, which would make San Diego have an easier path to the Dodgers round two?
I don't want that.
That is possible.
So, look, I am super stoked that the Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from San Diego. I am even more excited that they got to celebrate in front of San Diego that they won the West on their home field. I love all of that. But I don't want to see them again in the playoffs. They scare me more than every other team on the National League. You know what it is, though? What scares me the most is their hatred for the Dodgers, and I think that's what fuels them to be good. And I don't think Milwaukee feels the same way about the Dodgers, or Philly does. Or even New York Mets or Atlanta. They don't care.
Yeah, it's not a division rival.
It's not a division rival. Even the Diamondbacks, I don't think, care as much. It's San Diego. And I think it's their Captain Machado sitting over there just giving them all, hatred for us, even though they've had it before. It's not like it's a new thing. They felt like the little brothers of the Dodgers the entire time. They want to be the Giants and be that relevant to the Dodgers as far as the legacy of the Dodgers and the rivalry and stuff and everything. And the more we can push them aside and go, well, you're not going to have a chance. Just sit over there.
Then I'm going to hurt you right now. So then to make it their path harder, you then have to root for them this weekend to sweep the Diamondbacks.
Never.
So then Monday, the Mets and Braves game is irrelevant, and whoever plays the Padres are at full strength for the wild card.
I root for Arizona. Did you say root for Arizona to sweep them?
No, you have to root for the Padres to sweep Arizona.
But if Arizona sweeps San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and the Mets sweep the Braves,
oh, you're trying to say San Diego's way is out?
No, they wouldn't be out.
Yeah, but actually, they clinch.
They would still be second in the wild card though. If that scenario happened,
it's just a home game now.
The Mets and the Braves have 4 games left. That's why I'm looking at it wrong, right?
Yeah,
they have 4 games left.
They're playing a doubleheader on Monday.
Yeah, okay. So that would drop San Diego all the way down to the third seed. I don't want to face any of these guys. I don't care.
The Mets and Braves have 5 games. They have 3 games this weekend and the 2 games on Monday.
I want the scenario to I want the Dodgers to lose the rest of their games, drop down to the second seed, Arizona
and Milwaukee
somehow jumps the Mets and becomes second place, and now Atlanta and New York play against each other, and then we play the winner of that one.
No, Milwaukee is locked in at the third slot.
Milwaukee's not going to matter.
Oh, you think they're going to lose in the wild card?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about Milwaukee.
Gotcha.
I'm tired, man.
Look at the bracket. I put it in there.
I see it. Okay. Right, cool. That's going to do it for this
episode. That's enough playoff speculation. I'm sure Sunday will be a lot more of talk of that.
We'll talk a lot more on Talking Dodgers come Sunday.
Unless Ohtani hits 7 home runs, and then that changes the whole concept of
that'd be so right.
Episode.
He's on Let me game, ask you this.
8-game hit streak.
Mac, if Ohtani goes into Colorado and he somehow hits 7 home runs.
Wow.
And he becomes 60-60.
Impressive. Keep going.
Still wouldn't put him above Judge?
For this season?
For the season.
No.
7 home runs in 3 games?
No, because Judge is going to hit 60 home runs like tomorrow. So by the time Judge is done, Judge could be at 62. By the time this weekend, he's he's at 58 right now.
All right, thank you for checking out this episode of Talking Dodgers.
We'll catch you on the next one.
We'll catch you on the next one. Max just made me really tired.
Hey, we're all good. NL West, baby.
NL West.